please stand for the flag salute. Councillor Lindsay. Welcome, everyone. Ms. Yulee, could you call the roll, please?
Councilmember Ziemer. Councilmember Akeley.
Here.
Councilmember Lindsay.
Here.
Councilmember Onslow.
Here.
Councilmember Wells.
Here.
Mayor Stos.
Here. I would accept a motion to excuse Councilmember Ziemer from the council meeting this evening.
I would so move.
I second.
It's been moved and seconded to excuse Councilmember Ziemer from the council meeting this evening. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Passes. Thank you, Council. Mr. Stewart, are there any late changes to the agenda, sir?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, there is one late change to the agenda. It is business item number 3, acceptance of coronavirus local fiscal recovery funds.
Great. Thank you very much. We will move on to public comment. Anyone wishing to address City Council regarding items not subject to a specific public hearing may come forward at this time to the podium or use the raise your hand feature located on the toolbar at the bottom of your computer screen. For controls over the phone, please press *9 for raise your hand and press *6 to mute or unmute your computer. Please state your name and limit your comments to 3 minutes. I have two folks that have signed up. Is Abigail Coleman here? Abigail, would you please step to the podium? Welcome.
Good evening, council members. I was here virtually last time on the behalf of the proclamation for Pride Month, and I just wanted to read off some comments off of the petition that we had, just that way you get an idea of more of the community feel. One person had stated, "I am an ally to all LGBTQIA+ people, and supporting Pride Month is a beautiful way to show it." Another woman said, "I am a lesbian living in Richfield and believe we should all have our opportunity to be shown that our city respects and stands with us." Another person says, "Love always wins." And one person said, "LGBTQ rights, and no one should be judged by who they love at all. Gay rights are equal rights. Thank you to my fellow, both past and present, queer, for being proud and loud. I want to make Richfield a better place for the LGBTQ plus community that live here. As an ally, I wish to bring equality among all people, no matter how they identify." Another person said, "Pride celebrates representation for all of our wonderful LGBTQ community. Their fundamental rights are under attack. I urge you to demonstrate your full-throated support. Hate has no place anywhere in Washington." And that's just a couple of the comments, and I just wanted you guys to know that Richfield as a whole, we care about community and we love each other, and I'm so pleased to read all the comments. I'm sorry I did not read all of them, but know that there's so many people, 800 plus, that are backing this up, and I just want to thank you for your time.
Thank you, Abigail. Next we have Marie Bouvier. Marie, are you on the line?
Sorry, Marie Bouvier, 224 South 3rd Avenue. I'd just like to express my thanks to council for speaking to me about the I-5 interchange, and also to staff members who are willing to speak out to me. I hope that I can arrange a meeting so that we could all maybe get a chance to see the land that's in question sometime in the future. So I just wanted to say thank you for that. And also thank you for being willing to hear the request on Pride Month. I'm also a signatory on the petition, and I'm grateful you guys are taking it under consideration. Thank you.
Thank you, Marie. Is there anyone else wishing to speak to the council at this public comment?
Mayor, we have Jasmine. I'm gonna go ahead and unmute.
Okay, Jasmine.
Hi, my name is Jasmine Tolbert and president for the NAACP Vancouver, and I am also speaking on behalf of your community members that have brought forth the request of Pride Month to be declared in the city of Ridgefield. As the president for the NAACP Vancouver, we originally received our name with Vancouver and the title, but we do serve all of Southwest Washington and all of Clark County. That includes Ridgefield. And so we're here to amplify the voices that reached out to us in support of this. And I appreciate your consideration this evening for that Pride Month proclamation. And I also appreciate the review that has taken place of the letter, that the sincere letter that my Vice President Lenny Duncan had written on behalf of these residents as well. I am excited to hear your resolution on this. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jasmine. Julian, is there anyone else on?
Jessica?
Hello, my name is Jessica Cole. I'm the president of PFLAG Southwest Washington, and I sent a letter on behalf of our organization and on behalf of the LGBTQ residents in Ridgefield. And I just really appreciate you considering the Pride Proclamation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else, Julie?
Not seeing anyone else, Mayor.
Okay. I don't see any other hands up either. Is there anyone else wishing to speak to the council in this public comment? Okay. Seeing none, we will move on to the consent agenda. I would accept a motion.
Mr. Mayor, I move to approve the consent agenda as presented.
I'll second it.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the consent agenda as presented. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Passes. Thank you, Council. We have a presentation this evening, a proclamation policy and process.
Mr. Mayor, I just sent a message just a little while ago to Ms. Nadnieris, and she should be here in just a second. She's
great.
In a conference room.
Great. And while we're waiting for Ms. Nadnieris, I just want to mention that the council is looking at our policies for accepting proclamations. In the past, our policy has been that we will receive a proclamation from an organized group from like the Breast Cancer Society, the Society for Dementia, Alzheimer's, and that. We initially had received a proclamation request from a private individual, and normally the council does not accept requests from private individuals. So we are looking at our policy, and we're going to talk about that this evening. So this is why we're going through this exercise. Ms. Nadnieris, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mayor. It is so nice to be here in person. As you explained, it did come to the city's attention recently that we do not have a comprehensive written policy and process for determining whether to issue a proclamation when the request comes from a member of the public. And as a result, council requested that staff come up with a policy for your review and approval, and you have that in your packet in front of you today, and I just want to run through some of the highlights. The proposed policy states that the Ridgefield City Council may issue proclamations for events, activities, causes, programs, and nonprofit organizations that have a positive impact on or enhance the community, convey a positive and inclusive message to Ridgefield residents, and are consistent with the city mission. The rest of the policy outlines a process for making a request and reviewing one of those requests. Specifically, to make a request, it must come from a nonprofit, community organization, or city partner. Second, the organization or the individual making a request on behalf of the organization should submit an application form to the city clerk, which will be available online and in paper. And the application will include questions like the topic and purpose of the proclamation, how it connects to or impacts the Ridgefield community, the name of the individual making the request, the name of the agency or organization that there is involved in making the request, 3 to 5 points that they would like included in the proclamation, the council meeting date that they are requesting that the proclamation be issued, and who would attend the meeting to accept the proclamation. The next part of this policy then outlines how one of those requests would be considered. There is a number of bullet points here outlining issues that would be considered or reviewed when looking at a public request. It's not a checklist, it's not a rating form, it's just primary issues of concern to the city in issuing a proclamation, like it is consistent with the city mission, it is representative of the Richfield residents, and it does raise awareness or provide some level of education, and a couple other areas to consider. If the request is approved, then it will be issued and read at a council meeting of the city's choice. And the policy also makes it clear that the city will prepare the specific proclamation. That's about the extent of the policy, and we are looking today not necessarily for a official motion or vote, but just some direction as to whether or not you would approve this policy, and with or without any changes.
Thank you very much. Council, do you questions, comments on this new policy? Okay, nothing? Questions, comments, councilors?
Nothing. No. No, it looks good. We haven't sat down to try to figure that out, so I appreciate that.
Great.
Mayor Stos, I've read through it several times and I agree with it. I did have a question. Then when a proclamation comes, who from the city approves it and so can come before, and the mayor reads it? What's that approval process? I guess I've never, I just see them be read and I just didn't know how they got approved.
It is a decision that is made primarily by the mayor, sometimes in consultation with the city manager.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, right. Thank you. Moving forward then, this proclamation will go into effect and go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, if the direction is it will be in effect immediately, it will be on the website tomorrow.
Okay, great. Thank you very much for your work on this, Ms. Notenaris. And with that, I am going to read a proclamation because the policy has been met. And so I'm going to read
this. Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
We did have how to reconsider the request for the Pride Month proclamation as a separate item on the agenda to give council an opportunity to review their request under this new policy, if you want to have a discussion about that.
Okay.
Also, just in your consideration, I'd like to point out that the requirements under the new policy for making a request have been met. We do have requests from 3 different nonprofit organizations that are local in support of the Pride Month proclamation. And we have received, or council has received, all of the information that would be required in an application form. We are not recommending that an actual application form be submitted in this case because we don't need to, we would be requiring that retroactively. I don't think it's necessary. I think you should have before you all the information that you need to reconsider issuing this proclamation. If you do decide to issue it, you do have a proclamation in front of you that is prepared to be read, and there is someone here to accept that proclamation.
Great, thank you very much. Council?
Proclamation and the process we just went through?
The floor is yours, Counselor.
Thank you so much. So,
get a mic. Thank you. But I'm so loud. All right, okay.
So policy and code are living documents. They adapt and change as the city grows. Sometimes they need to be changed because they're outdated, and sometimes they need to be changed because we find that there's gaps in them and we need to make them better. And I want to thank everyone that has been involved in this process and has reached out to me over the last couple weeks. I've had like 27 people either write me emails or letters or call me, message me, talk to me on the street about this policy and this proclamation. And your involvement has helped make us a better city by making a better policy. So I want to thank everybody who's been involved. This is your city and your help making it a better place. I also want to thank everybody who spoke in public comment at this meeting and at the last meeting and shared their experiences. It can be scary to talk in front of a group of people, and I just want to acknowledge that it took courage to do that. And so thank you very much for doing that as well, and I respect you for doing that. And finally, I am in support of the Pride Proclamation, and for one simple reason, it's kind of our motto in Richfield, be kind, this is Richfield. You see it on bumper stickers all over town. We brag about how friendly and welcoming we are in our community, and it's not just for people who look like me or you or act like me and you, it's for everybody. Everybody should feel welcome here. So for me, it's just as simple as be kind, this is Richfield, and I'm in support of this proclamation.
Well said, Counselor.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
Mr. Mayor?
So I just wanted to make a couple comments. You know, since I moved to Richfield in 2015, I've met a lot of people and a lot of really nice people. And a lot of my friends, I think I have, I'm not a lot, but 6 or 8 friends that are gay or lesbian. And I don't think of them any different as anybody else. And so I just wanted to throw that out there, whether or not we have this proclamation going or not. I think the mindset, like Jennifer said it very well, be kind, this is Richfield. Thank you.
Thank you. Mayor Pro Tem Wells.
I was going to make a motion. I move to...
Do you have anything to say?
He can still discuss it and after I...
Mr. Mayor, I don't think that a formal motion or vote is necessary in this case, just a general consensus as to whether you want to issue the proclamation.
Oh, okay. I thought it would be part of the policy.
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Would you like to say anything?
I agree with it completely. So
okay, great.
Cool.
All right.
Let's move forward.
It looks like we're in agreement. Now I can read this proclamation. Whereas in June 1969, patrons and supporters of the Stonewall Inn in New York City resisted police harassment against members of the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender community. The uprising sparked the LGBTQ plus rights movement, a call to action for all of us to live up to our nation's promise of equality, liberty, and justice for all. And whereas during the month of June, we commemorate the events of June 1969, recall the trials the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and questioning community has endured, and rejoice in the triumphs of those individuals who have bravely fought for equality. And whereas Richfield recognizes the work of local advocates and organizations like the Vancouver NAACP, the Southwest Washington Chapter of Parents, Families and Friends of Lesbians and Gays, in the Richfield High School Club, Unite Richfield, and others who work to promote the well-being of LGBTQ people, as well as all those affected by discrimination on the basis of gender, identity, or expression. And whereas the LGBTQ plus rights movement has achieved great progress, but there's more work to be done. LGBTQ plus persons still face obstacles when it comes to accessing many of their rights, including the ability to embrace who they are with pride and the right to social protection. And whereas the City of Richfield recognizes there is strength and diversity of our community and that all are welcome to live, work, and play in our city, LGBTQ plus youth deserve a place where they feel safe to learn without the fear of harassment, and LGBTQ plus families and seniors should be allowed to live their lives with a feeling of acceptance, belonging, love, and support from their neighbors. Now, therefore, I, Don Stos, Mayor of the City of Ridgefield, do hereby proclaim the month of June 2021 as Pride Month and encourage all residents to honor the value, contributions of the LGBTQ plus community in our city, to respect our diverse community, and to celebrate and build a culture of inclusiveness and accept it. So I understand that we have Kathleen is here, and also Abigail. Would you like to come forward and accept this proclamation? And thank you very much for coming.
Thank you, sir.
And if you'd like to step to the podium and say a few words, yes, sir, that'd be great.
Good evening. Thank you all for taking the matter of a proclamation declaring June Pride Month to this public forum and for your efforts to revisit my request. I appreciate that consideration. I am sure you will all agree when we look to accomplish anything, it is often with the support and efforts of many people that stand behind and carry forward an idea we might have had. That is certainly the case now. And so I am proud and humbled to thank the NAACP and PFLEC for their exquisitely written and thoughtful requests to this council, and Unite Ridgefield for their support and representation of the LGBTQ plus youth of this city. I am grateful to over 800 individuals who took the time to note their support on the online petition, to the local businesses who signed a letter of support, to the Ridgefield Community Group, whose membership and individuals decided no was not going to be an acceptable answer, who took the steps necessary to voice support and joined an effort to reverse that decision. And I would be remiss to not specifically recognize Jill Carmi, whose tireless work on many fronts created the momentum behind the Ridgefield Community Group effort, to Megan Dudley, Amber Baker, Abigail Coleman, Abby Braithwaite, and David Morgan, whose talents, suggestions, and support in so many areas kept the ideas for change moving forward. I thank you. And I thank each one of you, the mayor and the city council members, for this proclamation. For me personally, this means so much. My wife and I moved to the state of Washington for many reasons, not the least of which was we could get married here. Our wedding was simple, but it also just happened to fall on the day the Defense of Marriage Act died. As you can imagine, that gives our anniversary a special meaning. But you know, that little piece of paper, that marriage certificate matters to me. It makes a difference for me. Even now, at 71, it makes a difference. I'm so proud to say I'm married to her. And as a member of the LGBTQ plus community, this proclamation is like my marriage certificate. This piece of paper proclaiming June Pride Month matters to me. That proclamation says to me, I see you. You are part of this community. I know this proclamation matters to the LGBTQ plus citizens of Ridgefield. It makes a difference to us and for us. So I think it is only appropriate that Abigail Coleman step forward to say a few words on behalf of the younger generation. Abigail?
Thank you for calling me up when I'm a blubbering mess. Thank you. I just want to say thank you so very much on behalf of the LGBTQIA+ community, especially the youth that has felt not only disassociated from the Richfield ideal of community, but even they don't, not everybody has safe homes to come out to. And so you've created the stepping stone to give the youth here support. A lot of the support that youth have are unfortunately in Vancouver and other places, and when we don't have a bus system that can easily take them to those areas, it's hard to find support and community in Richfield, and you've given them that hope and that chance. Thank you again so very much. You have shown us love that we are so desperately needed. And thank you, Richfield community. Thank you to my neighbors. My family, my friends, and the allies. Thank you so very much. Have a wonderful evening.
Thank you, ladies, for coming this evening, and we'll move on to our next order of business, which is another presentation, City Council appointment process.
Thank you again, Mr. Mayor. As you know, Council Member Sandra Day resigned her position on City Council effective June 1st, 2021. And when a City Council member resigns midterm, Washington state law gives the authority to the remaining council members to appoint a replacement. The appointed councilor is then required to run for election at the next city authorized general election in order to keep their position, which in this case would be in 2023. However, the law does not provide for a process to follow in making that appointment. Council does have the discretion in creating a process. So you have before you today a proposed process which includes submitting an application. So any interested candidate from between June 11th, which is tomorrow, through June 25th would have an opportunity to submit an application, which includes a letter of interest, a resume, a reference authorization form certifying that they meet the requirements of becoming a city council member, and that the city has the authorization to conduct references if they so choose. We'll also include a questionnaire with 7 questions, including a page limit, to explain their interest and experience and qualifications to become a council member. And then there is also a short application form to obtain simple information like references, contact information, that kind of thing. And then any reference letters that the candidate chooses to submit are optional. The application will be available, if this process approved, on will be available online tomorrow and in paper form to pick up at City Hall. At the same time, June 11th through the 25th, when the application process is open, residents of the City of Richfield will also have an opportunity to submit questions that council may consider in asking during the in-person interviews. The second part of the process, once the application period has closed, is that council would have an opportunity to review all of the application packets. So each council member would receive all of those applications and have an opportunity to rate each of the candidates on their experience and qualifications in order to determine which candidates should be invited to an in-person interview. Once the decision is made, the interview process will be conducted on July 8th, beginning at 5 p.m. That's a regularly scheduled council meeting. And there will be no structured questions. Council members will each have an opportunity to ask one question of each candidate. And based on those interviews on the same day, council would then go into an executive session to discuss the qualifications. And after executive session, reconvene the public meeting in order to make a decision as who they choose to appoint. And the appointed council member would then be sworn in at the following council meeting, which would be July 22nd. Again, it's not necessary for a formal motion or vote on this appointment process. Just some direction to staff as to whether this process you would like to adopt, or if there are any changes you would like to make.
Great, thank you very much. Councilors?
I had a couple. I really like the idea that you put in how have they been engaged in Ridgefield. I think that's really important. At first I thought it was going to be overlooked, but it's there. And the requirements to apply, where do they find that?
All of this information about the process, including the requirements to apply, will be on the city's website and social media first thing tomorrow morning. It will be on the website on the home page.
Okay, and they have to be a resident for how long?
1 year.
That's what I thought. And the only other thing that I thought this was great. You really did a good job. And I actually worked on your experience, I'm sure, in doing this. I had a question that it has in the past, we've slipped up, I think, a couple of times, and that's when somebody applies, I think that they should be sent a thank you letter. And that's really not on this policy or anything, but I think it should be somewhere where the mayor or
we do.
Or the
we
city.
Acknowledge everyone that applies for anything.
Well,
we do.
Oh, okay.
Julie does that.
Hasn't always happened. At least it didn't happen when I was a mayor. So
good.
Thank you.
Yep.
We can help make sure that happens.
Will you? When will you? Any suggestions made by the public for questions to be asked during the interview process, when would we get those as a council?
You would receive those at the same time you receive all of the application packets.
Okay, so they're in the same kind of time frame as the application process, that 11th through the 25th window?
Correct.
Okay, cool. Thank you. And good job on this. So
thank you.
From being on the other side of this at one point in time, I appreciate now what goes into creating the application process. So you did a really good job.
Thank you.
I just had one question. Was there an area where the public will be making a public comment about any of the interviews? Okay.
No, there's not.
Okay, thank you. I remember that was in there at one time. I just didn't know if that was still there. Thank you.
I got a question. Is the public allowed during the interview session?
It is a public meeting, yes.
Okay.
Is that it?
That's it.
Okay. Apparently, we're all in agreement that this process works. Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll move into our first order of business. Motion approval of award of stormwater facility rehab bid, Mr. Cast.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and good evening, Council. Before you for consideration this evening is an award of a bid for stormwater facility rehabilitation in the Bellwood Heights and Hillhurst neighborhoods. I believe we can share the screen here showing a map of the facilities from our new asset management software that we have just recently implemented. These facilities were last rehabilitated about 10 or 11 years ago, and are due for another rehabilitation to remove accumulated sediment, replant the facilities, and restore their capacity and function. We bid the project and opened bids on the first of this month. We received 5 bids for the project, and Keystone Contracting of Ridgefield was the low bidder on the project. Their bid of $141,894 was lower than the amount that we had estimated and included in the budget, so we have some room there for if there's overruns in the amount of sediment that we estimated or just for other projects. At this time, I'm happy to answer any questions, but however, staff is requesting that the project be awarded to Keystone Contracting.
Okay. Council, questions of Mr. Cast? Seeing none, I would accept the motion.
This is Rob Akeley. I move to award the storm facility rehabilitation project to Keystone Contracting in the amount of $141,894.
Mr. Ron Onslow, I second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve an award stormwater facility rehab bid to Keystone Construction in the amount of $141,894. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Passes. Thank you, Council. Next order of business is a motion approval of award of G Creek Trail, Abrams Park to Heron Drive. Mr. Cast.
Thank you again, Mr. Mayor. Back in 2017, the city applied for and received a Transportation Alternative Program, or TAP grant, which is a federal grant program for construction of improvements to the G Creek Trail between Abrams Park and Heron Drive. This project will construct improvements, the primary one being a pedestrian rapid flashing beacon crossing at Heron Drive, which will allow pedestrians to cross from this segment of trail over to the new segment of trail that we just received Federal Land Access Program grant funds to construct. This project will also install some trail benches along the trail alignment and will do some plantings and interpretive signage to talk about the creek habitat and the stream bank stabilization work that we have done and are continuing to work with the Watershed Alliance on. At this point, we have bid the project. We also opened those bids on June 1st. We received five bids on this one as well, with the low bid being submitted by Slate Co. of Battleground. Their bid of $96,000 was just a little bit higher than the amount estimated by the design engineer, but lower than the amount of grant funds that we received. And at this point, I'm happy to answer any questions about the project, but would request that the council award the bid.
Okay, thank you. Questions, council?
Mr. Cass, you mentioned a couple of different improvements that would be added. Is it possible to get additional, and it seems silly, but like garbage cans along the path, maybe like where it meets Heron Drive or so, just for the folks that walk their dogs have a place to put their debris so the city stays clean along the trail there?
We can look at doing that separately. This being a federal grant program is very stringent. I mentioned earlier that we were putting trail benches because originally we had them identified as park benches, but this fund could only be used for trail improvements, not park improvements, so we had to change the name. So
we call them trail with that, refuse
with that containers. Level of requirement, it would be hard to add it to this project, but we could certainly look at adding that separately.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Any other questions, council?
I don't have a question, but this is 4 years from 2017, but this project has been in the works since I've been on the council, so for 15 years, and I'm thrilled, and kudos to you that got that grant and the work that's going to go into it. I'm thrilled.
Thank you.
Anyone else? I would accept a motion.
I move to award the G Creek Trail project to State Company in the amount of $96,895.21.
Jennifer Lindsay, I second.
It's been moved and seconded to award the approval of the G Creek Trail from Abrams Park to Heron Drive to, what was the name of the organization?
Slintco.
Slintco. In the amount of $96,894. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Passes. Thank you, council.
Thank you.
Move on to item number three, a motion of acceptance of the coronavirus local fiscal recovery funds. Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council, and residents. So we got good news this week. We got an email with some documentation from the Office of Financial Management about the potential to receive the coronavirus local fiscal recovery funds, which is from the American Rescue Plan Act that was approved by Congress back in March. And the city is set to receive $2,555,041 over a two-year period, with the ability to use it basically from March 3rd of this year up until December 31st of 2024. And it would come in two sums, one pending acceptance by the council, and Mr. Stewart would sign the documentation. We'd send it back to OFM and receive that the end of this month, and then approximately 1 year later we would receive the second half. What we're asking is past practice and policy has been for grants of this size for council to accept and give us authorization to move forward with receiving the funding. We will come back at a study session, I believe it's the second meeting in July, to go ahead and give options of what we can use the funding for and set up a spending plan over the next 4 years to go ahead and use those funds for the good of the Ridgefield area. What it can be used, just short, is anything related to the coronavirus, whether it's economic relief, whether it's responding to the COVID-19 and any health-related things. What we can't use it for is we can't pay pension money with it. We can't reduce taxes to where we're supplementing the loss of revenue with this grant. And then we can't put it into something like a rainy day fund. So what we're asking, just a simple motion, if council wants to accept the funding, the motion is at the end of the staff report to accept the American Rescue Plan Act coronavirus state and local fiscal recovery funds. It's federal, so it's a long name, grant in the amount of $2,555,041.
Great, thank you. Mayor Pro Tem Wells, you have a question?
I know I had a question, but I wouldn't make the motion.
Oh, okay. Anyone else have questions of Mr. Johnson? It's pretty straightforward. I would accept a motion.
Okay. Mr. Mayor, I move to accept the American Rescue Plan Act, coronavirus state and local fiscal recovery funds grant in the amount of $2,555,041.
Jennifer Lindsay, I second.
It's been moved and seconded to accept the American Rescue Plan Act Coronavirus State and Local Fiscal Recovery Funds grant in the amount of $2,555,041. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes. Thank you, Council.
Thank you.
Next, we're going to move on to a public hearing. A public hearing and first reading of ordinance number 1344. Ridgefield Municipal Code Amendment, Building and Fire Code Updates. Ms. Lust.
There we go. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Good evening, Council and members of the public. This evening, we will have a public reading on the adoption of the 2018 Building and Fire Code Amendments. So to provide some background, cities and counties in Washington are required to adopt by reference the version of the National Model Building Codes currently adopted at the state level by the Washington State Building Code Council, or the SBCC. These model codes include the International Energy Conservation Code, both commercial and residential, International Building Code, International Residential Code, International Existing Building Code, International Fuel Gas Code, International Mechanical Code, International Fire Code, and the Uniform Plumbing Code. The 2018 building codes were initially intended to be adopted at the state level on July 1, 2020. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, Governor Inslee delayed this adoption date to November 1, 2020. Subsequently, at a special council meeting, a special state building council meeting, the SBCC voted to extend the effective date of the state building codes to February 1, 2021. The City of Ridgefield has been applying the 2018 building code since the effective date of February 1st of this year, as required to comply with the standards adopted by the SBCC. The proposed code amendments this evening complete the city's compliance requirements by adopting the 2018 building codes by reference in RMC Title 14, Buildings and Construction, with certain amendments specific to the City of Ridgefield. This code update also does include one housekeeping item that came up after Clark Callett's fire rescue staff looked at the fire code, which is to just change outdated references to Clark County Fire District number 12 to Clark Callett's fire rescue in both titles 14 and 18. So I'll give a brief overview of the building codes updates, and then Division Chief Mike Jackson is also on the line to talk through the proposed fire code amendments. So, Council, if you're following along in the packet, this begins on page 40 with those changes I mentioned referencing Clark Callett's Fire Rescue as the correct agency. The building code adoption and amendments begins on page 41 of the packet. Chapter 14.03, Construction Administrative Code. The first section here is simply updating which addition and appendices of each of the model codes I listed our municipal code will now adopt and reference. So these are housekeeping updates to come into compliance with the 2018 codes as adopted by SBCC. Moving along to page 42 and beyond for the rest of the building code adoption and amendments. The last time we did this was to adopt the 2015 versions of the code. At that time, the city adopted a series of amendments to the code, which still apply. So those code sections are not being updated, save for updating throughout references to 2018 rather than 2015, and changing section numbers and letters to match the 2018 code as needed. So that concludes the building code update section. I can take any questions now, or we can pass it over to Chief Jackson. I don't know what you prefer.
Anyone have any burning questions? Okay, Chief Jackson, are you on the line?
I am. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council. The adoption for the fire code begins on page 49 of your packet, I believe. I've got a couple of quick slides that just provides kind of an overview of the hows and whys and what the pieces are that are being asked for consideration this evening. Effectively in Washington, the fire code is adopted by the state and it generally applies to new construction. Municipalities may adopt more restrictive language, but not less. It's based off model code that in this case is developed by the International Code Council. The state makes a few amendments to that, and then local jurisdictions can further amend it if they wish. ICC codes are currently adopted statewide in 46 states, and in the other four states, there are some jurisdictions that adopt them locally. It's typically a three-year cycle. So we were a little bit behind because of COVID this year, and typically we're 2 years behind, so that's where we're adopting or asking consideration for adoption of the 2018 code. General things, I think folks are generally aware of why the codes exist, but kind of a quick overview. Obviously, we're concerned with the life, safety, and protecting citizens of the city and the district, conserving property. All of those kind of fit into business continuity and making sure that our businesses can continue to operate and safely thrive without any impacts from fire. And then just general risk liability management. And a piece that a lot of folks aren't necessarily aware of is insurance rates. Many folks are aware that they rate fire protection and our response capabilities, but they also do look at code adoption by local jurisdictions to see that it's on par and consistent with state adoptions. And then that has an impact on how insurance rates are calculated. For the Ridgefield Fire Code, it's kind of two parts is an easy way to explain it. The municipal code entitles chapters that locally administers the code and adopts by reference that model language from the International Code Council. Historically, before there was that model code, local codes kind of addressed individual things here and there. The model code, that ICC, or the International Fire Code, adopted by reference from the municipal code, and it provides a standard model language that's consistent statewide with just a few exceptions, and specifies a few things left out by the state code that we have included in those proposed amendments. So our role in this whole process is essentially to advise the city on the fire code and fire safety issues. Through our arrangement by contract, we enforce the fire code on behalf of the city. In the state of Washington, the fire code has to be enforced by cities and counties. In the case of Ridgefield, you have selected us to do that on your behalf. And then we recommend considerations for safety in the code zone. This cycle, what we were looking at was making the code effective for community safety and ease of use for owners, builders, and developers that operate across jurisdictions. So that's part of the idea with that model code, and really keeping consistent with the state so that it's consistent and easy for those folks as they move across jurisdictions to not have completely different sets of rules. With this cycle, we also look to remove duplicative, conflicting, outdated, and confusing language from the municipal code for things that are clearly and effectively addressed by the model code. And then standardizing the fire code across the cities in our district makes it a little easier for us to be fair, consistent, and uniform when we look at that. We wanted to adopt the appropriate appendices for the model code to just provide clarification so that the code generally talks about access roads, things like that. There's specific appendices that deal with things like that and fire hydrants that give a little more clarity and detail for how those things are supposed to be applied. And then we made the appropriate changes. There's things in the model code that are left open for local jurisdictions to clarify in terms of volumes and quantities of hazardous materials and things like that. So we cleaned those up to make it pertinent locally and made sure that we addressed the special hazard things that we could potentially look at in each week. So really the changes, like you say, start on page 49. I don't really intend to go through all of those, as most of them are administrative, cleaning up boilerplate language to insert the city or the fire district names, ambiguity, things like that. And then the appendices that we talked about for details on access, water supply, hazardous materials, and special hazards, we adopted those appendices or are proposing your adoption of those appendices. And we cleaned up similar to the section that Claire talked about with removing Fire District 12. We just made sure that all of that language was consistent for our current name. So that's really an overview of where we're at. All of the details were included in the packet, and it included notes on any of those changes as to specifically what those changes were for and why. Thanks to Claire and her team with Community Development for the help on this, as well as John and Josh on our team over here in the Fire Marshal's office. But with that, I'll leave it to any questions if there are any.
Okay. Council, questions of Chief Jackson? Seeing none? Nope. Thanks, Chief Jackson. Appreciate it. Ms.
Thank
Lust.
You kindly.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I do not have anything else to add, so happy to take any last questions.
Great. We have no questions. Thank you very much. Great job. So next we will move into this public hearing. It is now time for a public hearing. If you have signed up with the city clerk prior to the meeting to address the city council, your name will be called and the city clerk will send you permission to unmute your microphone or come forward to the podium. If you have not provided notice in advance to speak during the public hearing, please use the raise your hand feature located on the toolbar at the bottom of your screen. If you wish to make a comment, the city clerk will send you permission to unmute your microphone. For the controls over the phone, press star 9 to raise your hand and press star 6 to mute and unmute your computer. There will be no back and forth or interaction between the speaker and the council. So I will open this public hearing. On ordinance number 1344, Ridgefield Municipal Code Amendment, Building and Fire Code Updates. Is there anyone wishing to speak at this public hearing? Is there anyone wishing to speak at this public hearing? Seeing none, I am closing the public hearing.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, after consulting with Director Lust about this item, if this is something that you would prefer to waive second and adopt on after first reading, it is certainly within your legal purview to do so.
Great. Thank you very much. Ms. Julie, could you read the ordinance into the record, please?
Ordinance number 13444, ordinance of the City of Richfield, Washington, adopting the provisions of the 2018 editions of the National Model Codes as amended by the Washington State Building Code Council.
Great. Thank you very much. Councilor?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to not do a second reading on this and make a decision tonight here on it. So I'd like to make a motion to accept the Richfield ordinance number 1344, Richfield Municipal Code Amendment, Building and Fire Code Updates, as presented.
Mr. Onslow, second.
It's been moved and
seconded. I'd like to make a comment.
Yes, absolutely.
Sorry. Okay. The comment I'd like to make is I read through this, all the redlined additions. Does that cover all the changes for the City of Richfield that pertains to the City of Richfield?
That's correct, Councillor.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. It has been moved and seconded to waive the second reading and adopt ordinance number 1344 as presented. Ms. Julie, could you call the roll?
Councilmember Akeley?
Aye.
Councilmember Lindsay?
Aye.
Councilmember Onslow?
Aye.
Councilmember Wells?
Aye.
Mayor Stoss?
Aye. Next, we'll move on to public comment. Anyone wishing to address the City Council regarding items not subject to a specific public hearing may come forward at this time to the podium or use the raise your hand feature on your computer located at the toolbar at the bottom of your screen. For controls over the phone, press star 9. For the raise your hand and feature, press star 6 to mute or unmute your computer. Please state your name and limit your comment to 3 minutes. Is there anyone wishing to speak to the council at this public comment? Please.
I wasn't planning on doing this. My name's Mary Curtis, and I went to the lovely ribbon cutting ceremony for the new stadium entrance. I don't know the right words for that. I just wanted to say I'm amazed at Richfield. I grew up, I say, down the road in Phillida, and a lot of my friends were from Richfield. So I, like Wendy Hill, if she's listening, I grew up with her daughters anyways. So when I came back to Richfield, I was just astounded at how beautifully this sweet town has blossomed while still preserving the small town feel. And I just want to say everything you guys do is wonderful, and I'm so glad to be back here. So I just want to thank you for all you do. That's all.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else wishing to speak at this public comment? Seeing none, we will move on to council reports. Councilor Akeley.
I attended the Richfield Chamber of Commerce Board of Directors meeting, and we were able to hold that meeting here for the first time, so that was nice. The board is looking at where we're going to be having venues coming up for the chamber. That was the main topic. I also attended the Richfield School District School Board meeting yesterday, where they did cut the ribbon for the new stadium entrance and honored the folks that donated the money for that project. I attended the pre-application conference for the Avonmore Senior Living Facility that would be located over on Royal Road, right across from the new apartments. That facility will have, if built, which it probably will be, a memory care, assisted living, and independent living. That's all I have to report.
Thank you. Councillor?
Thank you. I also attended the ribbon cutting, and I want to give a little special shout out to Councillor Akeley for all of his work on making that project happen, that you went above and beyond. So great job, Councillor. I was able to help out at the senior barbecue today for our graduating spuds, and I am also a member of the Association of Washington City's Legislative Priority Committee, and we met this morning, and it's for anyone who doesn't know, it's a committee of about 35 to 40 city councilors and city managers from across the state, and we set the agenda of what the Association of Washington Cities will be advocating for in Olympia next year. That's all I have to report.
Thank you. Councilor Onslow.
Thank you. I want to have a shout out also. I'd like to recognize Rob, Councilman Akeley, for the work that he did on that, the gate entryway into the football field, the soccer field, et cetera, up at the high school. He did a great job. There was a lot of work done. This all happened in 1 month, which is almost unheard of. And it's all paid for. The school didn't have to pay anything, so it's great. I'm on the audit committee for the Association of Washington Cities. I forwarded some of the information that I got from that this week to our city manager and mayor. And a lot of emphasis was on randomware problems that the cities across the United States are starting to experience. And was at the high school barbecue today, which is fun. It's always fun. And it's only one of the few times we get to see the students. And Councilwoman Lindsay and Mayor Stoss and I were there for as representatives for the city council. And I'm also working on, and you should have some information for you for the parklet that we've had kind of on the back burner for some time, and we'll be moving forward on that shortly.
Okay, thank you. Mayor Pro Tem Wells.
Yes, I watched a Zoom meeting on the Admiral building. Also, it's a 52,000 square foot building. They've got several hurdles to cross. Sewer hurdles, not hurdles that the city has put in front of them, but the site itself lends to a lot of problems. Fire department brought up they needed to have double access where they've only are proposing one. And so the pre-app conference really turns around and exposes them to some of the things that they need to look at and prepare for before they move forward on their projects. Also on the stadium entrance, Rob again was a yeoman. He spent hours and hours, not weekly, but daily at the project. I checked in there a time or two. Was involved in it in a little, but last week, I can't remember which day it was, I pulled in, I think it was Saturday, pulled in there, and it looked like there was a hive of killer bees were ascending on the gates to the entrance, and they all had paintbrushes in their hand and were putting a final coat on the metal to preserve it. And that was the Ridge Hill Lions Club. Nobody was talking, everybody was working, and I figured that was a good place to get away from. So I got my pickup and got back out of there. But no, if anybody has the opportunity, you need to turn around and take a swing down through the parking lot and take a look at that. It'll be their grandstanding for the graduation that's coming up in another week. So that's it.
All right, thank you very much.
Mr. Mayor, there's just one addition, and that is next week, Council, you should be aware that the AWC quote-unquote virtual convention is being held, so that's it.
Okay, great. Thank you, and I wanted to pass on my thanks to city staff for a great first Saturday. Again, big paddle. Though we tried to keep it under wraps a little bit, kind of a little calmer, it turned out great. It was a great event, and I know city staff spent a lot of time working at that event and making it successful. So next year it'll be 5 times larger than it has been in the past. So with that, Mr. Stewart.
Hey, Mr. Mayor, members of the council and the community, nothing further from me this evening, unless you have any questions.
Okay. Great, thank you. Ms. Notenaris? Here she comes.
Did he call on one of us?
There she goes. There you go. Ms. Notenaris, you're up.
I don't have anything for you today.
Oh, okay. Great. No problem. Mr. Cast.
Thank you. Nothing else for you this evening.
Great. Thank you. Mr. Johnson.
Nothing else tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Lust.
Nothing from me either. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Parker, are you on the line?
Yeah.
I don't see her.
She wasn't able to make it.
Okay, great. Finally, Chief Brooks.
Council, I was very saddened that I missed Brian Cass' pavement preservation presentation. I bet it was awesome, but I was out there helping out with the Ridgefield High School Senior Parade, and that was even more awesome. But that's all I've got for you. Thank you very much. I'm
awesome.
Happy to answer any questions you have.
Thanks, Chief. Great job. With that, we're adjourned.